let the children go to their children's church. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 24. We're just going to open up with this scripture. Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24, and I'm just going to read from verse 12. Exodus chapter 24, verse 12. Amen. Exodus 24, verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and be there." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and be there. And I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written that you may teach them, the children of Israel." So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them." Verse 15. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called out to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. Verse 18. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and for 40 nights. Okay, so this is actually not part of my sharing, but so God called Moses and he says, "Come up to the mountain and be there." Can you just turn maybe to the next door person next to you and just say, "Come up to the mountain of the Lord and be here." Are you actually here, or is it just your body? Okay, so we are gathered here in the mountain of the Lord, and we are here. We're not just physically here. We are mentally here. We are emotionally here. We are spiritually here. Why? Because we have come to be with God. We have come to transact with Him. We have come to exchange, do an exchange with Him. This morning I'm going to be sharing on grace, a beautiful and a divine exchange that happens. So I've got a picture of a mountain here, and you have the glory of the Lord, and God wants us to come up to the mountain so we can exchange with Him and transact with Him. Amen? Amen. Okay, so my key scripture this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities or my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake, because when I am weak, then I am strong." When we come up to the mountain of the Lord and we are here in God's presence, we transact with Him and we exchange all of our weaknesses and our imperfections for His grace, His strength, His perfection, His strength in our weakness, in times of troubles and distresses and all sorts of challenges and issues that we face. See, this is something that God is dealing with me. I like to have it all together. I like other people to think that I have it all together. And I like to show that I'm confident, I'm capable, I'm competent. But yet I am weak. And when I am weak, God's strength shows through my imperfections, if I let Him. this week in Life Group, we covered about the four-point prayer that I actually wasn't here for because I was in Kapong. But we've covered this before, and Pastor Machen has talked about this a lot. And in your life group, you would have done two tables, and you would have covered the scriptures in those two tables. And in my life group, how I summed it up was, the first table, the scriptures all in there, are about presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. We talked about the tabernacle of Moses and all the articles or the pieces of furniture in the tabernacle of Moses that points us to who Jesus is and why we need Jesus. Because he is the perfect sacrifice that covers our sin. Because he is the word that washes us and cleanses us. Because he is the light of the world that illuminates. And when we have the oil of the Holy Spirit, it illuminates our lives and shows us areas that we need to change and adjust. He is the bread of life, the fresh manna that we need in our everyday situations. We need the word and the fresh manna from heaven. And Jesus is interceding for us. The altar of incense encourages us that we should also live a life of prayer just like Daniel. And then the Holy of Holies, the presence of God sitting over the mercy seat. See, grace is unmerited favor. I didn't deserve it. I didn't love Jesus first, but Jesus loved me first. And because of his sacrifice and because of his great love for me, his blood that was shed for me covers my sin. And that's all that God sees, the blood that is sprinkled on the mercy seat. And in the Ark of the Covenant, it shows me that God is a covenant-keeping God. He is a God that provides for me. The pot of manna is a reminder to the children of Israel that God provided for them in the wilderness. And he took them through a journey. And yet he provided for them despite their rebellion and stubbornness. And Psalm says, stiff-neckedness. Sometimes we can be like that. I'm just like this. That's just who I am. I'm not willing to change. I'm stubborn. I'm stiff-necked. Right? But despite all of that, God provided for his children in the wilderness. He was so good to them. Despite their complaining and their murmuring, we had leeks in Egypt, we had chicken, we had all this, and all we have is manna, right? I'm preaching to myself, okay? The pot of manna in there, a reminder to us that God is a faithful God and he always provides. The rod that budded shows us God's choice. God's choice. He has chosen us to be, he has chosen Aaron and the Levitical, the tribe of Levi, to be priests. And we know in Scripture, in the New Testament, in 2 Peter, that we are chosen as a royal priesthood, those who are set apart to serve him. Are we set apart? Are we serving him? God has called us to that. And the last one in the Ark of the Covenant, the Ten Commandments. The law that God wrote himself with his very own fingers on stone to give to us. And in Revelation, later on in the New Testament, it tells us that God writes his law in our hearts. It's imprinted upon our hearts. Amen. So the tabernacle and the articles in the tabernacle of Moses points us to who Jesus is and what we need from him, who he is and our insufficiency, our imperfection and our lack, and why we need to come to Jesus on a daily basis. That's what you should have got out of table one. And that in Psalms 141, when we lift up our hands as the morning and the evening sacrifice, we are presenting ourselves as a sacrifice. Why? Because we need him. We need fresh manna. We need the word to wash us. We need the blood of Jesus. We need the light to shine in the darkness. We can't be effective lights until we let God shine through us. So when we present ourselves as a living sacrifice And this is, we've covered this before, when we lift up our hands, lifting up our hands is many things, but one of them, the one thing, one aspect of lifting up our hands is surrender. When we lift up our hands as the morning and the evening sacrifice, it's, I am surrendering to you, God, because I have nothing. I don't have what it takes to go through this day. I don't have what it takes to overcome this challenge. But by your grace, I can overcome. And you have everything that I need. So I'm going to tap into Jesus, my source, and I'm going to draw from him. Because my strength is made perfect in weakness. And when I am weak, God is strong in me. So I'm going to present myself, and I'm going to allow you to work through me, Jesus, today and every day. Amen? Table 2 in your lesson was talking about then, once you have presented yourself, once we have presented ourselves, which is, Romans says, your reasonable service, the basic, the minimal thing that we are expected to do, then the next thing is, then, only then when we have surrendered ourselves, then can God release a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and that the eyes of our understanding may be opened so that we may know the hope of the calling that he has called us. He has called us, he has separated us out, just like the tribe of Levi, to serve him. So that we may know the hope of his calling. And earlier Pastor Machen was talking about this. We all have different giftings. We have same calling to reach out and to win another soul. People need the Lord, but we all have different lanes, different gifts in which we operate in, different places where God has placed us. But there's one calling. And Christ is formed in us on a daily basis when we surrender. Amen? All right. Over the past few weeks, we've heard some very powerful messages. A few weeks ago, we heard about what it means to die to ourselves. For I am crucified with Christ. Pastor Fred shared about that. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives because I am thoroughly dead. But it is Christ who lives inside of me. See, his power, the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is the power that's inside of me and working through me. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And then after that, we heard a message from Brother Dino about true sons are led by the Spirit of God. And when we are tuned to the frequency of God and tuned to the frequency of the Holy Spirit, then we are acting as true sons of God, and we are led. And if we're truly in the same frequency, we should all be on the same frequency, because God's, it's not like he has multiple frequencies. There's one frequency, right? We're trying to explain frequency to Sunday school kids, and because radio is not quite a thing these days because you got YouTube and all that, it's really difficult. But for those of you who've lived in the time, you know that you have to get the right frequency. If you want to tune in to 98.5 Sunshine FM and you're on 96 or 99 or some other frequency, you're not going to get 98.5 Sunshine FM. It's just the wrong frequency, right? But we must tune to the frequency of God, and he wants us, because there's a message he wants to give us, the now word, and he wants us to move according to that. But we can't catch it if we're somewhere else. If we're distracted, we're not here, we're somewhere else, we're thinking about tonight's dinner, last night's dinner, tomorrow's dinner, some other dinner maybe. We must be physically, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually here to transact with God on the mountain of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. And then last week, a powerful message by Uncle Ming on encountering God. The woman who was at the well was actually with Jesus. And Jesus said, "Can you give me a drink of water?" And what happens? The woman starts to, you know, go off on a long, you know, lots of excuses. Oh, this, you worship here, we worship here, you have no bucket, and all this sort of, all sorts of things. But Jesus looked through all of that fluff, is what I would call it, fluff. And he goes straight into the heart. straight to the issues of the heart. What's your excuse? What's our excuse? See, that's why sometimes we don't like to come up to the mountain of the Lord, because we know that he's going to deal with us on our heart issues. He's going to deal with our attitudes. He's going to say things to us that we don't like to hear because we're stiff-necked, or we're stubborn, or I'm always like this. And we don't want to transact with God because he's going to say things to us, and he's going to shoot straight through to the heart, and he's going to see right through all of our fluff. And we keep making excuses. So last week, we heard about if we want to encounter God, we've got to lay aside all of our excuses, the excuses that we give God. You know, I'll give God, I'll wait till I have it all together. See, because I like to have it all together. So God, when I have it all together, I will give myself to you, because by that time, I'll be of value to you. I can serve you. I'll wait till the kids have grown up. I'll wait till I finish my assignment. I'll wait till I finish this job. I'll wait till I finish this project. And then I'll give you all of myself, because then I'll be free and then I'll be able to do it. I'll wait till I've reached this stage in my life when I'm more able to do so. And then I will give you all of me. But God wants us right where we are right now. Right where we are at this point, where you are in your stage in life, wherever you may be, whatever it is you're going through, he wants all of you. And that's the challenge. What is our excuse this morning? His grace and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. He's not asking for us to be perfect. He's not asking for us to have it all together so he can use us. He's not waiting for all of that, because his grace is already enough. His grace is enough. His strength is enough. All we need is in Jesus. He is our sufficiency. And when we tap into him, we have it and we can overcome. But we sometimes fail to do step number one, which is present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, surrendering myself daily. And because we fail to do that, we sometimes wonder, why are we not living a victorious life? Why is life so hard? Now, don't get me wrong, right? We will experience hardships and difficulties and trials. I'm not saying that, but there are some difficulties and trials that come about that are unnecessary and that we bring upon ourselves because we haven't done the first things. We haven't done the basic things. When everything that we need is already there, and God has promised to give us all these things, but we just fail to come to him. We fail to come up to the mountain of the Lord and be there. That's all. It was a very simple request. God said to Moses, come up to the mountain, up where the air is clear, above all the troubles, above where the clouds are below and all of that, come up to the mountain, come up to my level and be there and transact with me, and then I'm going to give you the stuff, Moses. It was in the mountain of the Lord where Moses received the instructions. He received the instructions for what to do with the children of Israel, the tabernacle. It's at the mountain where Moses received the Ten Commandments. And so back on the tabernacle, that's where Moses received the instructions on not only how to build the tabernacle, what the tabernacle is to be made of, how it's supposed to operate. All of that instructions, those detailed instructions were given when Moses was at the mountain of the Lord. And God wants us to come up to the mountain of the Lord, be there to transact with him. Because he knows we don't have what it takes to do the stuff, but he has it. So we exchange our weakness in exchange for his strength. We give our weak selves for his strength, and his strength makes us perfect for the job and for the assignment that he has for us. Amen. Amen. Okay, so if I can just maybe take to the next slide, if you can help me, Daniel. Thank you. All right. So grace is a beautiful and a divine exchange that happens with God. You may have heard some of these definitions before. It is unmerited favor, the desire and the power to do God's will, great riches at Christ's expense. I would like to say personally for me, I feel it's all of the above. So I'm not going to say it's any one of these. It's all of the above. It's favor when we didn't deserve it. It's great riches at Christ's expense, given freely to us. And but not only that, it is the desire and the power to then do God's will. In John chapter 1, verse 16, I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. For out of God's fullness, and this is what it says, the superabundance, I love that, the superabundance, not just abundance, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all of us have received it. Grace upon grace. He's not just giving us grace, but he gives us grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. We have all received this. Grace upon grace has been given to us. What are we doing with this grace? What is our excuse? So why grace? And we're going to talk about this. So grace is a progression through our Christian lives. It is dispensed. So we've just read, it's given to all of us, grace upon grace. All of us have received. It is for salvation. When we first received salvation. But not only is it just for so then we can feel happy that we are now saved by grace through faith. Grace is for the assignment. And lastly, grace is for reigning through righteousness. So we're going to cover that this morning very briefly. So number one, grace is for salvation. I'm just going to read a whole bunch of scriptures. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It is the grace of God that brings salvation. And it is this grace that has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, a people that have been set aside specifically for him and for his service, zealous for good works. And Ephesians 2, 8, verse 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not of our own works. Yep. Okay. So maybe I'll just round off with this picture since we've been talking so much about this. This morning, God is challenging us to come up to the mountain. Some of you may be like the woman at the well. You may be making excuses. Oh God, when I'm doing this, when I've finished that, and then I will come to you. But God is shooting straight to your heart this morning, and he sees through all of the fluff. He sees through all of the excuses, and he wants you to come and transact with him. Some of you, so there's another part of you who may be down and discouraged and feeling like you can't do it anymore. There may be certain challenges or issues in your life. And God is speaking to you this morning that my grace is sufficient for you and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Come up to the mountain and transact with me, and I will release grace into your life to help you, to give you the strength and the courage to go through what you are facing this morning. Amen. So this morning, can we respond to God? Yes. Amen. Amen.